Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, February 6th, is the feast of St. Paul Miki and companions, Japanese martyrs. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis reminds Christians of their vocation to be messengers and builders of hope. Heavy fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo raises the specter of wider regional conflict. And UNICEF renews its urgent appeal for an immediate end to the relentless fighting in Sudan. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis's message for World Mission Day 2025 was published by the Holy See Press Office on Thursday, the 99th edition of the World Day, with the motto, Missionaries of Hope Among All Peoples, will be observed this year in October on the 19th. In his message, the Pope notes that the motto reminds individual Christians and the entire Church of our fundamental vocation to be, in the footsteps of Christ, messengers and builders of hope. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has this report.
Pope Francis says that prayer is not only the primary missionary activity, but also the key to keeping alive the spark of hope lit by God within us. The Holy Father gave this comforting reminder in his World Mission Day message for 2025. The Pope expressed his wish that the day be a time of grace before going on to reflect on three aspects of our Christian missionary identity. Reflecting first on following the Lord's footsteps, he encouraged, may we too feel inspired to set out in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus to become with him and in him signs and messengers of hope for all. The Pope examined Christians as bearers and builders of hope among all peoples. In following Christ the Lord, he urged, Christians are called to hand on the good news. Impelled by Christian hope, he said Christian communities can be harbingers of a new humanity in a world that in the most so-called developed areas shows serious symptoms of human crisis. The gospel, the Pope reassured, can restore us to a whole, healthy, redeemed humanity. Finally, the Pope turned to the third aspect of renewing the mission of hope. Faced with the urgency of the mission of hope today, he said, Christ's disciples are called first to discover how to become artisans of hope and men and women of prayer. By praying, Pope Francis marveled, we keep alive the spark of hope lit by God within us so that it can become a great fire which enlightens and warms everyone around us. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Also today, Pope Francis met with young priests and monks of the Oriental Orthodox churches as they take part in the fifth study visit organized by the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity. Reflecting on the Nicene Creed, Pope Francis urged all Christians to express our common faith in respect and fraternal love. Devin Watkins has more.
The proclamation of our common faith requires before all else that we love one another. Pope Francis offered that reminder on Thursday as he met with a delegation of Orthodox clergy taking part in a study visit to Rome. Promoted by the Dicastery for Promoting Christian Unity, the fifth study visit brought together priests and monks from several Oriental Orthodox churches. In his greetings to the group at the Casa Santa Marta, the Pope called the annual visit an exchange of gifts, which helps theological dialogue to go hand in hand with the dialogue of charity. He noted that this year marks the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, the first ecumenical council which produced the Nicene Creed, a symbol of faith professed by all Christians. Pope Francis went on to explore the meaning of the term symbol in reference to the Nicene Creed. On a theological level, he said, the creed sets forth the ensemble of the principal truths of the Christian faith, which harmoniously complement one another. The Nicene Creed, he added, was the first synthetic symbol created by the Church and was therefore exemplary and unparalleled. The Pope said the creed also bears an ecclesiological significance since it unites both truth and believers as a single Christian people. Each Christian, added the Pope, possesses a piece of the symbol which can be fully expressed only when united completely to all other pieces. Pope Pope Francis then reflected on the spiritual significance of the symbol of faith, recalling that it is primarily a prayer of praise that unites Christians to God. Union with God necessarily takes place through unity among us Christians who proclaim the same faith, he said. The Pope urged us to feel united to Christians of all traditions when we profess our faith by proclaiming the Nicene Creed. In conclusion, Pope Francis expressed his hope that the study visit of the Oriental Orthodox priests and monks would serve as a symbol of communion as the Church journeys toward full union for which Jesus prayed. I'm Devin Watkins.
Diplomatic and faith-based initiatives to stop heavy fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo come amid increasing concern for a possible expanded regional conflict fueled by interest in Congolese mineral wealth. Meanwhile, Rwanda-backed M23 rebels who captured Goma, a major city in eastern Congo's North Kivu province, are seeking to reassure its over 2 million residents, holding a rally and promising safety and stability under their administration. Linda Bardoni has this report.
The rally in Goma's city stadium was part of the efforts by the M23 rebels to shore up public support amid growing international pressure after reports have emerged that almost 3,000 people were killed in clashes between the rebels and the Congolese forces. Meanwhile, after claiming Goma last week, and despite the announcement of a ceasefire on humanitarian grounds, the rebels on Wednesday also took control of the mining town of Niabibwe, not far from the capital of South Kivu, Bukavu. The deadly fighting has also caused a severe humanitarian crisis situation, drawing the attention of the International Criminal Court. The M23 rebels, backed by some 4,000 troops from neighbouring Rwanda, are the most powerful of the more than 100 armed groups active in Congo's east, which holds vast mineral deposits that are critical to much of the world's technology. On a diplomatic level, DR Congo President Felix Tshisekedi is scheduled to participate in a joint summit of Eastern and Southern African leaders in Tanzania on the 7th and 8th of February, in a drive to find a solution to the conflict that has, in fact, been festering for decades. Rwanda's President Paul Kagame is also expected to attend. Concerned and horrified by the increasing levels of violence, local peace initiatives are multiplying, including one by the Catholic and Protestant churches in DRC, who met with the president and presented a crisis exit plan. Since the flare-up of fighting and the rebel advance in eastern DRC, Pope Francis has used every possible occasion to ask for prayers for the people of Goma and South Kivu and urge for a mediated solution to the violence. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Staying in Africa, the United Nations Children's Fund has renewed its appeal for an immediate halt to the relentless fighting in Sudan, where at least 40 children have been killed and dozens more maimed over the past 3 days. Thaddeus Jones tells us more in this report.
At least 40 children have been killed in shelling across parts of Sudan in recent days, where violence has flared up in the states of South Kordofan, Darfur, and Khartoum. UNICEF, the United Nations agency that assists children, decried the latest violence that's also maimed at least 29 other children since Monday, calling it a stark illustration of the devastating and growing threats to children in Sudan. In a statement, UNICEF's Sudan representative, Anna-Marie Swy, writes that, sadly, it's rare that more than a short few days go by without new reports of children being killed or injured. She adds that the violence shows no signs of abating, and the children in Sudan are paying the ultimate price of this relentless fighting. And UNICEF continues to call on all parties to the conflict to abide by their obligations under international humanitarian law to respect and ensure the rights of all children. Sudan's civil war, involving primarily the military and paramilitary forces, began in April 2023 and has led to what has been called the world's worst humanitarian emergency, with over 12 million people driven from their homes. Pope Francis has frequently called attention to the suffering in Sudan, appealing for humanitarian aid, dialogue, and negotiation to end the conflict there. He just recently urged world leaders to commit themselves fully to negotiations aimed at ending all ongoing conflicts. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
In the Holy Land, 1,000 days have passed since the death of Shireen Abu Akhla, a veteran Palestinian Christian journalist shot dead in the West Bank. As Joseph Tulloch reports, she was covering an Israeli raid on the Jenin refugee camp for the Al Jazeera network when she was killed on May 11, 2022.
1,000 days have passed since the death of Shireen Abu Akleh, a veteran Al Jazeera journalist who was shot dead in the West Bank in May 2022. News agencies, rights groups and the United Nations have all said that Abu Akleh was killed, likely deliberately, by Israeli troops. Abu Akleh, a Palestinian Catholic, was wearing a helmet and a clearly marked press vest when she was killed. Her employer, the Al Jazeera Media Network, condemned the shooting at the time as, quote, a cold-blooded assassination. Abu Akleh was a household name in the Arabic-speaking world, having covered the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territory for 25 years. Her death shocked the world and focused an international spotlight on Israeli killings of Palestinian journalists. According to the Committee to Protect Journalists, since Israel's war on Gaza began on October 7, 2023, the IDF has killed 159 Palestinian journalists. Israel initially claimed that Palestinian fighters had killed Abu Akleh. However, it eventually walked this claim back and acknowledged that its troops were responsible for her death, saying that it was an accident. After her death, Abu Akleh's family travelled to the Vatican, where they met with Pope Francis. A memorial service was held for her in the Basilica of St. Mary in Cosmedin in Rome, which is home to the city's Melkite Greek Catholic community. I'm Joseph Tulloch.
And finally, human trafficking remains a global concern as the UN Office on Drugs and Crime reported a 25% rise in the number of trafficking survivors and victims recorded in 2022 compared to 2019 pre-pandemic figures. In 2019, Pauline Akinyi-Juma founded Rebirth of a Queen, an organization dedicated to empowering and including survivors and victims of sexual and gender-based violence and human trafficking in the decision-making process through storytelling, empowerment, education, training, and protection. A child survivor of sexual, domestic violence, and childhood trauma, Pauline, in an interview with Vatican Radio's Stefano Leshinsky, describes the importance of including victims and survivors in the solution.
I think this is hope for me. When I was creating Rebirth of a Queen 5 years ago, it was to create a support system for ourselves as survivors, because most of the times we focus on the perpetrators, we focus on prevention, but no, most of the time people don't really want to listen to the survivors' voices. So for me, being in spaces like today, also the support I've gotten from Talitha Kum the last 1 year to just be part of a community that is drafting a strategy for survivors has been powerful to me, giving us a voice, and apart from giving us a voice, giving us resources to do the work that we do. So for me, this is powerful, and this is power to us, the survivors.
What should the public opinion, especially in Western and rich countries, learn in order to be fully aware of what are the roots of the human trafficking, especially in the poorest countries?
I'm really tempted to say poverty, but sometimes poverty is not really the reason why. But in poorest country, most of the time, it's poverty that takes us away from our countries to go to other countries to look for opportunity. So sometimes I keep reminding myself that wherever I am a human being, and as a human being, I deserve some dignity. If all of us can actually learn that, and also if all of us can actually learn, including survivors, or including victims in creating programs that are safe for them, then we can create a better world for all of us.
And that's all the time we have for this edition of Vatican and World News. Many thanks this afternoon go to our technicians in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.